Recording in progress.
Welcome to the continuation of our portfolio committee meeting. Morning to the Parliamentary Legal Service. Morning to the state law advisors. Morning to commissioners of the IEC and the team of the IEC. Morning, Deputy Minister, sorry, Minister and the Deputy Minister, and the DG and the team of Legal Service, and all officials who are in attendance. We hope that we all have celebrated the Women's Day yesterday, and we still extend our wish for the Women's Day month, central to the issues that are coming out, which of all of us have noted, is that we must continue taking responsibility to fight and create awareness around the gender-based violence that in the main is around demonstrated to women. And I think as men, we have taken course to make sure that we participate and create awareness around that. And other areas which our government yesterday has spoke on around, including the reflection the president has indicated yesterday. I also want to note that Home Affairs, I think the Minister or the DG, were observing the Imbizo in the site of Gauteng, where there's an issue around the Zamazama crisis. And in the main, there's a role which Home Affairs has to reflect on. We've noted the Director General's responses on the responsibilities that Home Affairs will undertake in order to respond to what our community members are raising on the ground in relation to the illegal immigrants or illegal minors who don't have even a relevant document to be in the country. I think we're taking note as the committee, and we'll pay more interest on that area. We're also probably be joining the two committees that will be conducting oversight to that area to look on the issues and get progress on updates on the work that has been already been done by the our government or security cluster. On that note, as we have concluded our meeting last week, there were a few outstanding issues. Mr. Matonsi, if you can highlight the agenda that we ought to reflect on in this meeting and finalize so that we're able to allow the team to conclude the drafting of the A-list that this committee needs to adopt. We may not take long, given the extent to which we've now deliberated on almost all the issues. And some of the issues that they were outstanding. Last week, we've dealt with the issue of the requirements, the quota, and we've taken also dealt with the issue of the cooling of period. We could not deal with the issue of the participation arising from the inputs that Honorable Pile have raised with the IEC and the IEC. Requested to come back to the committee, come back on the areas that we have dealt with, members to be allowed to reflect on that. We're going to allow Mr. Matonsi to run on the apologies, if there's any apology from members, and I'll get indication from stakeholders in attendance so that we are able to move to the item number 3. Mr. Matonsi?
Good morning, Chair. Yeah, I do have 3 apologies. One is from the Deputy Minister, then the other one is from Ms. van der Merwe, then the third one is from Ms. Dito. She said she's taking a flight from Mpumalanga, so she might be joining us late, but if we're going to be finishing early, and then she might not be able to join us. So that's all, Chair.
Thank you very much. Those apologies are noted and accepted. Let me check. From the Deputy Minister, I think has indicated that he's in attendance. It may have been a communication crisis, but I will allow the as I call them, to indicate if there will be any apology or members will be leaving the meeting earlier than we have to conclude. Can I check with the Parliamentary Legal Service if there's any apology to be rendered? Mr. Njikela? Daksha?
Good morning, Chair and members. Yes, there's an apology from Ms. Tilana Palistaki. She won't be in attendance today.
Thank you. Noted. State Law Advisor? Ms. Govender?
Good morning, Chairperson and honourable members. There are no apologies from our side, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Home Affairs, Minister? Deputy Minister?
Thank you very much, Chair. I am here in attendance, just like in the last meeting. The only apology I'll have is that I'm taking the meeting from the rural areas, so there might be a bit of network challenges there and there. But I am in the meeting. Thank you.
Okay. Is that any apology from Home Affairs?
I think there was an understanding because the DG is also not here. He has some other things that he needs to attend to. And also the minister is not here, but I am here from the side of Home Affairs.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Deputy Minister Nzunza. Commissioner Miebza and commissioners, because in the last four meetings, I think we've been you have been leading the delegation of the IC. Can you, if you are in, or Deputy if Commissioner Love,
if I could convey some apologies, Commissioner Miebza and the CEO. Submit their apologies. They are away on the business of the IEC. I am accompanied by Dr. Masuku, I, from people who are in the executive of the IEC, including the acting CEO, Mr. Shibri, and there are a couple of other people who are here from the administration, including the head of our legal department, Advocate Ross. Thanks, good day to you and to honourable members. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Commissioner Love. All apologies are noted and accepted. Will also Commissioner Love correctly? There was that indication in the last meeting that both the CEO and the Commissioner Miato won't be in the meeting, but also in your absence, there have been apologies that have been noted on your behalf. Morning. Now we're going to item number three. I will invite the IEC Commissioner Love and you'll delegate on how we're going to run the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thanks again to honourable members. We have sent a presentation on the three items. And I'm going to ask the acting CEO to go through the presentation, and then if there are any further questions or issues, we'll deal with them then. So, CEO Shibri.
Thank you, Vice Chair. Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Deputy Minister, honourable members of the Commission, colleagues. Good morning. Chair, we present what we understood as outstanding matters. We had also confirmed with the Committee Secretariat to avoid or to ensure that the input accord with the expectation of the committee. And we advised that there were three matters that we needed to come back to the committee on, and we shall do this in turn. The first issue, Chair, related, a concern was raised at the last meeting in respect to the calculation method that we had recommended in Schedule 1A. And the concern was that in certain instances, it is possible for parties to lose seats that they have been previously allocated. What do we mean by that? A party gets a seat and when a vacancy is triggered by an independent, when we do the recalculation, the submission was that it is possible for parties then to lose seats that they already had. We have gone back to look at this issue and we address it in two parts. The first is during the initial seat allocation at the end, at the conclusion of an election. That's the first scenario. The second scenario is when a vacancy needs to be filled and which vacancy was triggered by an independent losing membership of a legislative assembly. Let's start with the first one, during the election. The point that you first make is that the scenario that was raised is mathematically possible in the compensatory calculation of National Assembly, but it has never occurred hitherto. Since we've had elections of national and provincial elections, we've never had to deal with that thing, but we accept that it's theoretically and mathematically possible. And it is so because it is highly unlikely that a party can get a seat with the very few numbers that have been used to illustrate the point. This is so because in the current Schedule 1A, the seats are allocated on a highest remainder up to a maximum of 5 seats, whereafter we use the highest average votes per seat method. So in what that means is that it is not possible that a party or an independent may get seats with such low numbers that it will make this scenario possible. Next slide. So we also making a point that the recalculation as we propose still meets in the requirement for proportionality in general. And the last point to be made here, Chair, is that if this scenario were to present itself, we will be able to deal with it in terms of items 5, 6, and 7 to the current Schedule 1A. And those schedules are part of the extant law as it currently stands. So if this scenario were to arise, there are mechanisms at the point of allocating seats to deal with this scenario. And as it relates to the threat of a party losing a seat at the point of first allocation, we think the matter is dealt with enough, and there is no need to occasion further amendments to Schedule 1A. So what we propose is that Schedule 1A in this respect stands as it currently is. Next slide. The next scenario, Chair, is a possibility that a party or candidate may lose a seat that they held as a result of a recalculation to determine a new quota to fill a vacancy left by an independent candidate. Here we are making the point that it is possible mathematically for the scenario to arise, and to deal with it, we are proposing the following reformulation to item 34 of Schedule 1A, that we redraft item 34 of Schedule 1A to make it clear that in an event that a party or independent stands to lose a seat during the recalculation as contemplated in item 34 of Schedule 1A, the party or independent will retain the seat. In other words, the party or independent should not lose a seat that has vested in it as a result of an election. So if there's a vacancy and a recalculation is done and it changes the quota, we make it clear that the party that has a seat retains that seat, it doesn't lose that seat. And how do you deal to ameliorate the situation is that once you've confirmed that seat to a party or that independent, you remove the votes cast for that party or independent and the seat that has been confirmed for that party or independent from the equation, and you do a new forfeiture recalculation. If this suggestion is accepted, Chair, it will make it clear that no party or independent will lose a seat midterm only because a recalculation is necessary to fill a vacancy left vacant by a seat left vacant by an independent. And there is already precedent to this because in the current municipal electoral scheme, there is almost a reverse forfeiture already applied in the municipal election to avoid parties that had won seat losing seat as a result of a recalculation. This deals with the first concern that was raised at the last meeting. Next slide. The next slide, Chair, was a question whether an independent can stand for both national and provincial legislature. And let me upfront indicate that this is different from the debate that was settled by the committee in its last two meetings. This is different from an independent being able to contest multiple regions. The committee has decided that an independent will be locked into a region in which they are registered. So this is a distinct matter from that matter that has been settled by the committee. This relates to whether an independent should be able to contest the National Assembly seat from a region and also stand as a candidate for an election in a provincial legislature. Our submission, Chair, is that the bill as it stands and consequentially Schedule 1A gives effect to the bill, permits an independent to contest both elections. The only condition is that because a independent is an individual, they can only occupy a single seat. So an independent may contest both elections with a proviso that if elected, they can only be elected to one seat and therefore they will forfeit the other seat if they win more than one seat. The primary motivation for this, Chair, is that the elections of a National Assembly and a provincial legislature are two different elections. They may be conducted at the same time, but they are elections for different assemblies. They are independent of each other. So there could not be any reasonable bar to an independent not to contest both elections. The last point, Chair, that the committee has asked us to deal with relates to party agents. And the matter, as we understand, has already been settled by the portfolio committee in principle, in that independent candidates like parties are entitled to appoint and be represented by agents at voting and counting stations. The only issue that we'd ask the committee to reconsider is that the bill must only deal with the principle that says all contestants, independents and parties are entitled representation by agents. And we beseech the committee to agree with us that the details should be left to the regulation. So if that is carried, if the committee is with us, we will propose a phrasing that will substitute the current text in the A list as it stands. So the phrasing will be akin the following lines: a party and independent candidate are entitled to be represented by party agents at the voting and counting station as prescribed. And the details of that we deal with in the regulations. Why do we prefer to deal with this in the regulation? In the last election in 2019, we had 48 political parties. There is no way that you could have a voting station big enough to accommodate those number of agents if you put that in the law. So if you put it in the regulation, the commission may prescribe then principles that will underpin observation. Those will be, among others, the following. For example, parties and independents are entitled to be represented by agents where the station or the configuration of a voting station that cannot accommodate the numbers. Parties may take turns to observe and also write in that they will have an opportunity to rotate and observe at all the three key points in the voting station where observation is permitted. We wish to conclude our input, Chair. One, and by way of summary, is that there is no need to amend Schedule 1A to deal with a fear for a loss of a seat by a party at the point where we allocate the seat, because we think items 5, 6, and 7 of the Schedule 1A as it stands deals with the matter competently. Secondly, we propose a redrafting to Schedule 34 to make it clear that midterm a party may not lose a seat by only the reason that a recalculation is necessary to fill a seat vacated by an independent. Thirdly, it is our submission that independents should be able to stand for both the National Assembly as well as a provincial legislature on condition that they only contest the region in which they are resident or they are registered, as well as the legislature in which they are registered, with the proviso that such independent may only be elected to a single seat. The last point relates to party agents. We submit that the committee has settled the matter. Our only submission, Chair, is that we ask the committee to deal with the details by way of regulation, that it authorizes the commission to deal with this by way of regulation, and that the bill should not prescribe the number of agents that an independent and or party are entitled to. That concludes the input of the commission this morning. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Shiburi. I assume Commissioner Love will, or commissioners will come back once members have made comments. Can I get an indication for your comfort?
That's fine, Chairperson. I think that would be best. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, members. This is a brief presentation on the issues that the committee has been deliberating on, and we have sought clarity on certain areas. It's not a new presentation to the committee that we may take back, where it's for the committee to comment and take decision on. I want to request members to structure on how we'll deal with today's discussion. One is to make comments on the issues that are arising from the report, and two, then deal with allow the IEC to respond, and then deal with the issues that we must take care of decisions on, that in the last meeting we could not finalize. And I think this informs our last discussion, so that we're able to frame on those issues that we ought to take. In the main, there were three key issues that the committee must finalize today, so that we give effect to the drafting of the A list. And other issues already has been taken, but members can still deal with those issues for a concern. I will invite Honorable Pile, Honorable Molekwa, Honorable Ruos, Honorable Lukwase, Honorable Kanyile, and Honorable Mudise Mza. Then we'll then allow IC, if there's any other response to take. But in the discussions, if these members are able to also take decisions in the areas where you are inputting, that also will be fine, so that we are able to be concise on time. In that order, Honorable Pile.
Good morning, Chairperson. Thank you very much. And good morning to all honorable members, all stakeholders, and everyone present. Chair, thank you. I'm going to start off with the first point the latter point that you raised, that we could bring back a matter before I go into the IEC's presentation. Chair, in light of the submissions that we've received from the state law advisor, Parliamentary Legal Services and the presentation made by the IEC, I want to beg your indulgence in allowing us to withdraw the 3 months cooling off period on the basis that we take counsel on the matter, and particularly in light of the fact that it may be quite cumbersome and challenging for the IEC to be able to police or manage. And we don't want to make the work of the IEC any more complicated or difficult. We would like to propose that we drop the 3 months waiting period. That's the first item I wanted to raise. In respect of the presentations that we've received, Chair, the first item, I want to support the proposal made that there is this amendment or addition in terms of ensuring that a political party or independent does not lose a seat that they've already been allocated. So I accept the presentation made by the IEC in saying that, yes, it is covered in all of the different provisions made in Schedule 1A. However, there is that suggestion that says if we accept the suggestion, it will be clear that the independent or party will not lose it, and that there should be some addition made in terms of, I think it's the second slide or third slide. I want to support that statement that was made by the IEC that says that it must be put in, that says that they will not forfeit the seat in the case of filling of vacancies. Then in respect of the second item, Chair, which is one of the questions that I raised on whether an IC would be able to contest both legislatures, or the National Assembly and the provincial. And I accept
Honorably, I think you wanted to say independent, not IC contesting elections.
No, IC is independent candidate. That's what it's being referred to.
Okay.
ICs. So independent candidates. Chair, I accept that they are allowed to contest both. And again, that with the provision that they are only occupying a single seat. I mean, it makes perfect sense. It's logical. But the concern I still raise is where do they occupy that seat? And I think maybe the IEC needs to just explain how is that going to be addressed. Is it going to be where they get the higher number of votes, or are they going to leave them to a choice? Because I think leaving any person to a choice becomes a disadvantage to any other party or independent contesting. For example, if a political party has enough seats in the National Assembly, and an independent candidate has a seat both in the national and the provincial legislature and chooses to occupy the seat at the National Assembly, it means that party who reached the quota of a seat is going to lose that seat because the independent is choosing to occupy the seat in the National Assembly. So I think it needs to be clarified, that part, about where they occupy the seat. Yes, it's one seat, it's one person, but it has to be stipulated in advance that this is where one would occupy the seat and not being left after the election to decide on that. And in respect of the agents or party agents, Chair, I want to agree that we've addressed this matter where we have proposed that the principle of allowing for agents are going to be captured correctly within the bill, but the provision in terms of numbers and the details thereafter will be dealt with in regulations by the IEC. So the principle must remain with no numbers attached to it. The principle of saying that that it is allowed, but the details will then be dealt with by the IEC. Like we did say, the principle of deposit is allowed, but the amount that is going to be required will be dealt with in terms of regulation. And I'm going to stop there for now, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you for your contribution, Honorable Play. Honorable Molekwa.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, I was a little bit confused, but I think Honorable Pillay has been able to make me understand. Maybe the IEC can also clarify further, because I did not understand clearly on the ceiling of the seat vacated by the independents. As we know that independents are individuals, are not like political parties. Maybe they can be able to elaborate more so that I be on par with their comments. But otherwise, Chairperson, I think I support the comment made by Honorable Pibe on all issues that he has commented. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Mulekwa. Honorable Ruos.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the IEC for the presentation. Chairperson, firstly, I do agree with Honorable Pillay in terms of the withdrawal of the three-month period for the reasons given. Then going on to the items presented today, I think, you know, it's often mentioned that the reason this never happened before, et cetera. And the reason it's never happened is that you have a system currently where you first calculate the overall proportionality, and then you top up from lists. So also, you know, comparing to local government, it's a slightly different electoral system with first past the post in the ward. There's a different way of calculating proportionality, et cetera. You know, it was the recalculation in the event of resignation that we'd focused on. And what we sit now, Chair, you know, is was quite complex. Something that we'd made quite simple is now very complex. And you almost need to press the button like on a slot machine and then see which numbers come up at the end. Because, you know, we talk about now we take a whole, somebody that would have lost a seat, now we give them their seat and we take them out of the calculation. We haven't seen any calculations on what this means. What is the impact of that? What is the impact if you have a very large party that is suddenly taken out of the calculation? What is the impact on the on the seat quota then in that recalculation? And it's really problematic, Chairperson, because essentially we're going forward here in the dark. And what we really needed was the presentation of the system as it is proposed, and then see that calculated against the 2019 result, for example, or see some scenarios of, you know, what does it mean if the EFF got the extra or lost the seat, and you took out all their seats. What is the impact on that calculation? And so we're really being put in a very difficult situation here, Chair, because it seems like a very simple little sentence, but it could have profound impact that we can't see. And Chairperson, we really need to see these calculations. We need to see it against some real figures. Because, you know, what I'd spoken about last week was a possibility that somebody could lose their seat. And it was sort of said, no, it cannot be, but now it turns out that it can be. And this is the concern that I have with this whole thing. You know, we had a very neat solution. And the neat solution is to say that we use the existing system, we do the calculation. Yes, according to the current system, those extra seats can result in a recalculation, and that's fine. But once you have your election result, then you have the final calculation and you just top up from that recalculation. There's all sorts of things that are being created here now. The uncertainty of what happens with this recalculation, what effect does it have on the quota in that second round, I believe can be quite profound. But I think, you know, we had a simple solution, Chairperson. We do the calculation one round based on one seat quota for everybody. Those independents, if they got more than one seat, then those extra seats are forfeited. If a party didn't have enough on their list, then they forfeit the extra seats. Then we do a recalculation based on those open seats. We fill them up. We have a result. And then as an independent resigns, then we take the next person either on the remainders or on the highest percentages. And this was it was just a neat and elegant solution. And after the election, we know what is what. So as the Chairperson, you know, we stick to our guns on that one, that we should have stayed with that proposal that we'd originally made as the committee, because now this is getting very confusing. And we go on to the second point of both the National Assembly and the provincial legislatures. And once again, I agree with Honorable Pillay. It's important then, if you have the scenario of standing for provincial legislature and National Assembly, and you have this convoluted recalculation system, that the candidate must choose what their preference is up front. Because you have a danger here then that a candidate can afterwards look and say, okay, let me see in the different regions what the recalculation will be, who will win, who will lose. And you could have a scenario where an independent can literally have the option of looking at that and affecting who gets in and who doesn't, because we have this convoluted system. And so, Chairperson, I agree with Honorable Pele on this. I think it should be up front. We had said that where you get the most votes, you should go in there. I guess here we're saying that you should also then say, I would go to the National Assembly as opposed to the provincial legislature, just so you don't get to the point where now you have a result and somebody has to choose, and those choices can have a profound effect on who else gets in and potentially be manipulated. On point number three, Chair, the party agents, it is the DA's position that we need at least one. We cannot have a situation where you have none or you are rotated out, because if a party agent is outside the voting station for 10 minutes, then they may as well have not been there the whole day. You have to be there the whole day to make sure that at no stage that there's any irregularity. So, Chairperson, I don't believe we can leave it to regulation. There needs to be, you know, things like whether you can award two, or whether at some stage you can put it down to one, et cetera, et cetera. That kind of thing can be in regulation. But we need at least one party agent. The Chairperson, in the recent by-election, for example, I mean, we had a tent, it was very small. But there we were able to have two party agents. But, you know, if the venues are not big or the tents are too small, then they need to be bigger. Or we need to build schools in different areas that we have proper voting stations, so that we don't have the scenario that we have an area that is big enough. So I think the onus shouldn't be to say that you should deny a party or an independent candidate their right to observe the election. We should rather say we need at least one party agent at all times, because otherwise the other risk you have is that it's up to the presiding officer to say, I feel that the voting station's too close. I feel that there's too many people here. I feel that we need to rotate. And then it's very difficult to go back and say, well, you're right or you were wrong. So I truly believe, you know, we need to say that there should be at least one party agent from all of those being represented. And then one knows before an election who is on that list, and you get a venue or a tent accordingly to accommodate for those party agents. Finally, Chairperson, I think, you know, I think we had an unfortunate theme last meeting. And I think it's a shame that the IEC didn't concede and to say that we were right. I think I was accused of being disingenuous in that. But in fact, it was correct what I was saying, is that it is a fact that this recalculation system can result in a party losing its seat. I think it's just really, it's a bit of a shame that the IEC didn't concede that and say, okay, no, Honorable Rusty, you were actually right. We concede that. But it's fine, Chairperson. You know, I think we've undertaken these considerations in a very good tone. And let's just continue with that, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable West, for contributions. Honorable Lukwase.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and the colleagues on the platform. Chairperson, I would really like to align myself with the sentiments raised by both my colleagues on the issue of the cooling period falling off or being dropped off, for the main reason that, honestly, it is almost impossible for the IEC to be able to verify or vet each and every individual that will be standing for the elections. So the cooling period falls off. And Chair, maybe I would want more clarity or an explanation on the filling seats vacated by the independent. I honestly did not capture that one well. And Chair, on the issue of the independents having a party agent, I think we are all agreeing that they need to have a party agent. And my view would be that, yes, like the IEC has suggested, you must want to really know if an independent is allowed to stand for elections in both the legislature and the NA. Is it going to be left up to them to decide, let's say a candidate qualifies in both, is it going to be left to both to choose whether they want to stand it to hold a position in the legislature or in the NA? Can there be a way whereby they decide before going for elections whether they are contesting in the legislature or the NA? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Khwase, for your contributions. Honorable Khanyile.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, colleagues. Chairperson, I have been covered by the speakers, so my colleagues that have spoken before me on a number of issues. However, just raise on the issue of filling of the seats after it has been vacated by the independent candidates. I think Honorable Ross also indicated that if IEC possibly can give us an example of a calculation using the 2019 results of the votes, I think that would make a lot of sense, because I'm hearing that if an independent candidate vacates the seat and the recalculation is done, the party or the independent candidates are not going to lose their seats. However, in the previous meeting, a lot of people were saying if the recalculation is done, there's a high possibility that an independent candidate or a party will lose the seat. So to what they have presented today, is it possible for IEC to give us an example and do a practical example, like in calculation using the 2019 results? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Khanyile, for your contribution. Honorable Mudisimja.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me firstly agree with the notion that we should withdraw the cooling off period. And also, Chair, to say I'm quite comfortable with the views expressed by IEC that should there be a vacancy, there are mechanisms currently in place to be able to deal with such a situation should it arise. So I'm quite comfortable with the views expressed. On the issue of independent standing in the provincial and national assembly, I think it makes sense what my colleague would have expressed, that is it not possible that the independent should indicate prior to the voting taking place which seat they would want to occupy, either in the province, the provincial legislatures, or the national assembly, because it will really be a manipulation when that decision has to be taken after the votes, where an independent will have an option of taking where he would have received better results or feel where they would want to occupy a seat. On party agents, Chair, I also want to support that the details should be left completely to regulations. And I feel that it is in bad taste where we would want to say or give IEC the burden of venues. It is not IEC's problem that some of voting districts we utilize schools, and those schools have those venues, whether they are big or small. And really, it is not their problem that they should build new schools to make them venues that will be able to accommodate all party agents or not. And I don't think it's a business also that needs us to deal with. We are not here to deal with the sizes of venues, but we are dealing with a bill that we need to amend. Therefore, I really support the fact that the details of how that will be taken care of should be left completely to regulations. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much. I see the hand of Honorable Pile.
Chairperson, thank you very much for acknowledging me. Chair, I just wanted to see clarity, because in the IEC's presentation, they delved into the single region and multiple region. And I just wanted to seek your permission to ask for the IEC to come back and just present the view that was expressed by the IEC on the single and multiple. Because I did hear in the presentation the speaker saying that you have to be registered in a particular region legislature, and went on to say that the matter was resolved on a single region. And I may have captured it incorrectly, but I just wanted them to just clarify that part, so that at least we, when we go to taking decisions and finalizing the matter, we're clear on it. Thank you, Chair.
No, thanks, honorable members, for your submissions. Commissioner Love, there seems to be one matter which I think members want IEC to adequately deal with in relation to what appear to be the confusing matter which the IEC is raising. And we may raise it outside an understanding of the language you are using or the term you are using. Around the participation of independent candidates. And I think that legitimate reasons that are forwarded for attention that an individual may need to choose where she or he need to participate to avoid what you have already indicated in our previous meeting. So I think that is a central matter that members seem to want your clarity. And I think on the issue of the regions and multiple participation in the region, which was not yet been carried by the committee, there were views expressed. And as I've opened, when I was giving opening remark, I've indicated that we could not arrive at that determination yet, noting the questions that were raised by both Honorable Pile and Honorable Ruos that triggered your responses. But in the main, there's the committee agrees that they consider the submission by the legal counsel and the IEC on the cooling of period to remove it. Secondly, there's the consideration dominant views that we need to, in principle, affirm the agents and the IEC may need to regulate the details thereof. And I think we know that we've dealt with the issue of the filling of vacancy. I think the IEC may need to broadly respond in the manner that members are seeking clarity. There's a principle that was carried by the committee. So that is the only matter that I think we ought to get clarity from the from the IEC. I'm going to invite the IEC and I'll come back to members so that we ascertain the decision on the issues that they have proposed because they have not there was no seconder and on the issues that the members have been raising so that we close on these issues. Commissioner Love, and you'll delegate to your commissioners and the executive.
Thanks very much, Chairperson and honourable members. I think firstly, I will deal with a couple of the questions, and then particularly in relation to the issue of calculations, there was a request for some clarification in addition to the possibility of using the 2019 figures in order to give some illustration. I will ask Mr. Shiburi to indicate whether that's possible today or if not. by when it will be possible, as well as to clarify. In relation to the withdrawing of the cooling off period, I think that we appreciate the fact that there is that understanding. I want to come just to the issue first of party agents. I think that the IEC is very clear that it's important for the honourable members to be confident that the guiding principles would be established in the primary legislation. The difficulty with regard to getting actual numbers, whether it's one per candidate and political party or two, the reality is that, as has been pointed out, first of all, the IEC, as you all know, does not own the voting stations, and the availability even of temporary voting stations, which are not desirable in the first place, large temporary voting stations is not something that is easily accessible to the IEC. More importantly, and I think that this is really something to underscore, as you will know, we, in terms of the planning period for the logistics of an election, these things have to happen months before. And the arrangement of the different venues and voting stations happens months before. Now, if we don't know months before what the exact size of the ballot paper will be, as you know, the last ballot paper was 48, maybe the next ballot paper will be 68, or maybe it will be 28. But the point is, without that, the idea that we must guarantee in advance that at least one per party would be able to be there is something that is not necessarily going to be possible for us to do, even if the venues were easily and readily accessible to us, which, as has been pointed out, is not the case. So we really do ask that this be considered again. We completely understand the concerns that the honourable members would like to be sure that there isn't going to be arbitrary decision-making exercised by any presiding officer, that there isn't going to be any unreasonable behaviour or exclusion of party agents to observe and to do the work of party agents and to help us actually as the IEC to make the elections free and fair. But there are these practical issues. So that's the issue of the party agents. The second thing is in relation to the question of the possibility for an independent candidate to stand in different regions for the purposes of region to national for the National Assembly. It appears from what I understand you to be saying, Honourable Chairperson, that the committee itself has not yet resolved this issue. Our apologies, we had understood, and it seems that this is not yet resolved, that the committee had decided as a committee to put forward the position that an independent candidate should only contest in the region where he or she is ordinarily resident. If that is not the case, we accept, and we are not in any way recommending or prescribing. I think the issue, if the idea is still that the honourable members are considering whether an independent candidate, if there is a decision that an independent candidate can stand in multiple regions for regional to national, to that section of the seats in the National Assembly, I think the one thing that we would then say is that it would be important for the independent who might be able to get support from many regions to identify which region in the end he or she is coming from. And the reason for that is because if that independent a year later, you know, moves on, resigns or whatever, it would be necessary for everybody to know which region, which regional to national list needs to get the next candidate, whether that person is an independent or a member of a political party. But the issue that we had raised, or that Mr. Shiburi had raised today, was that over and above the question of independence going from region to national, there is also the possibility for an independent to stand in a region for a provincial legislature, as well as from a region to national. And all that we were saying is that currently, the way in which the legislation is crafted, our understanding is that that would be a possibility. Now, I hear that there are colleagues, amongst them, Mr. Ruth, Honourable Member Ruth, who are suggesting that it is important that there be some provision that indicates that an independent must in advance give an indication if he or she is elected in both the province as well as if in the regional to national list, which he or she would choose, and must do so in advance. Certainly such a provision could be crafted, but we just maybe would then say to the honourable members that this would, as you know, be a different, would differentiate then between what an independent would be obliged to do as opposed to what a candidate on a political party list would be obliged to do. Because as you know, a political party can put a member both on a national as well as on a provincial to national list as well as on a provincial list. So that's just, you know, we understand that the political party is different from an independent in the sense that an independent is one person, but it's whether or not the committee wants to make that differentiation, and that would be something we would defer to you, but we just want to point out that this would make a distinction which may or may not be necessary, but it would distinguish the obligations that political parties have from those that independents have. Chairperson, with your permission, the other questions really did relate to the issue of the calculations, and I'm going to ask Mr. Shiburi to deal with that, and then he could find out from other colleagues whether they would like to add anything, or he can indicate whether there is another colleague. So with your permission, Chairperson, if I could hand over to Mr. Shiburi.
Thank you, Commissioner Love. Commissioner Shiburi?
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, VC. Chair, just in brief, and thanks, Commissioner Love, for summarizing. We understand three emerging things. The first one, we understand that there is no opposition in an individual contesting both elections, i.e. the National Assembly and the provincial legislature. The issue that has been raised, it relates to the mechanics for an independent to upfront to deal with which seat they will occupy. Consistent with our previous crafting, the crafting will be that the independent candidate will be assigned to the seat that they win by the most votes. So they do not have an option to indicate after the fact or once they've had sight of the result. So it is a deeming provision that where they've received most votes, they will be assigned that seat. So the issues of an independent knowing upfront and influencing who gets elected or a party that gets elected, those issues do not arise. The second issue, where the members asked the mechanics of effecting a replacement for a seat that is vacated by an independent. And by way of background, the original bill made provision for vacancies to be filled only for party candidates, and it did not have a corresponding provision for seats vacated by independents. The committee has agreed that this may create a vulnerability to the bill and had asked the commission to advise on a method to facilitate the filling of vacancies left by independents. There were a number of proposals on the table, some including holding a by-election for the entire region. What we had proposed is what is currently in item 34 of Schedule 1A, i.e. that you do a recalculation of the quota akin to a forfeiture. In other words, you remove the votes and the seat won by the vacating independent. And once you've done that, you recalculate the quota. So you'll see that the quota is not stagnant. It is influenced by a number of factors. You recalculate the quota. And the point that you've made this morning is that you ensure by way of legal instrument that that recalculation cannot deprive an independent or a party of a seat that they've been already allocated to midterm. And then once you've done that, once you've recalculated the quota, the next party or independent candidate who qualifies is then assigned to that seat. So we've not changed what is in Schedule 1A as it currently stands in the law. All that we have done is to include a provision that deals with the mathematical possibility that a recalculation of the quota may result in undesirable result, i.e. removing a seat from a party or candidate in midterm. Those are the two key issues, Chair, that I wish to deal with. The new request is of a simulation. We concede in the presentation that the scenario is mathematically possible, but it will take very few votes. It will arise in instances of very few votes. We will look at the results in 2019, simulate scenarios, and come back to the committee if it is acceptable, Chair. We do not have the figures as we speak.
Chairperson, with your permission.
I thought Mr. Shaburi is on platform.
I am done, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. So thank you. Thank you, Commissioner Lass.
Chair, sorry. It's just that Mr. Shaburi has then indicated that he's not able to do the simulation, you know, sort of while the committee meeting is going on, which I had anticipated. But I think for clarity, it would be useful for us to understand from the honourable members what kind of options, because at the moment we can create a simulation of what would happen using the option that the IEC has presented. I'm not very clear about the alternatives from members, where we could then use the same figures to look at the alternatives that any members are putting forward, because if I'm understanding correctly, the honourable members would like to be able to compare in order to come to a final decision. So I think we can confirm that we can, and I'll ask Mr. Shaburi just to give an indication by when, that we can give you figures, the simulated simulation using the figures of 2019 on the option we are presenting. But could you please confirm for us the alternatives that honourable members would also like?
Commissioner Laff, are you still on the platform?
No, thank you, Chair. I'm finished.
Okay. I wanted to get to propose for decision. Honour Pillay, I see your hand.
Yes, Chair. I just heard what Commissioner Love has said, but in the presentation that the IEC made this morning, I think it covers this, whether we receive that presentation of figures or not, that And I think that's where the principle must be accepted as all members, that no party or independent will stand to lose the seat in the event of a vacancy being filled. And if that subsequent amendment's going to be made, or the addition of that, because they said it was covered in 5, 6, 7, I think it was, in Schedule 1A. But there was going to be that addition that says that you don't stand to lose it. I mean, if that covers it and in principle we agree, then I don't think there's a need for any of the presentation further, because it's I think the concern by Honorable Ruiz is that a political party or independent stands to lose a seat once they're already in the respective legislature. And if the principle is that they won't, then I'm not sure whether it'll do any harm on us wanting to even come back with that presentation if it's covered.
Okay. Members, those are the issues which the AIC has reflected on. I wanted us just to zoom on three issues so that we work in conclusion of these items. And I think the responses from the IEC were sufficient in assisting the committee to move forward. And later I'll bring in the legal service of both state law advisor to comments and the parliamentary legal service. The understanding of the committee is that we opt the option of independent participating in multiple regions and their votes are not aggregated. I'm trying to draw that understanding. Secondly, is that the committee's understanding is to resolve to withdraw the cooling of period. And thirdly, is that the committee agrees that the agents, the IEC, will work on the regulations. And the principle outlined on the filling of a vacancy is accepted by the committee, which suggests that in all the issues that were outstanding for the committee to deal with are being accepted by the committee. I want to establish from members if there's a contrary view to what the deliberations has been presented and the comments, so that I give opportunity to the state law advisor and the parliamentary legal service to make comments on the matter that the IEC may need to come and demonstrate, I think a suggestion which I'm assuming that it appears that the principle laid by Honorable Pillay, we are all affirm on that, and we may need to proceed to finalize this process. Any contrary view to the matters which yourself, members, and the deliberation will carry it, so that we deal on the matter? Honorable Ross?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Chair, I'll just go in the order in which you'd mentioned these items. I think that number one, we'd spoken about one region or multiple regions the last time. I think the point on this as well was to say that if you're going to allow independents to stand in multiple regions, then we need to go back to the situation where you also balance that with the party candidates being able to stand in multiple regions as well. Otherwise, then the system is then unfair to party candidates. On the cooling off, yeah, we absolutely agree with that. On the agents, the DA's position is we should have at least one agent each, and I do hear the inputs of Commissioner Love on those venues. But there are dire consequences in terms of not having agents at a specific time. in terms of the perceived freeness and fairness of elections. And then number four, the DA is clearly objects to this recalculation. I think we haven't considered the risks clearly. The thing is, it's not just about on this recalculation after a vacancy. It's not just about the party that lost the seat keeping the seat. Now we're introducing another element of uncertainty, and that is that party then, their votes are taken out, including the remainder, and then a recalculation is done. And now we don't know the effect of that next recalculation on the quota, and where that creates another situation where you have parties that win and lose their seats. So Chairperson, our position continues to be that we do the initial calculation, you do the first recalculation, and after that you have a set election result. And from then on, if a party has a vacancy, they fill it from their list. If there's an independent vacancy, then it gets filled from the next highest remainder. That's it, Chair. Thank you.
So the views that Honorable Ross seem not to agree is on the recalculation, contrary to what the IC have presented. It's what I'm establishing, members. Any other matter? Okay. Can I get seconded, seconding for the issues that I've raised? I'll start in the sequence, indicate the matter we second, and then we close. I'll start in that sequence. Honorable Pillay, Honorable Legwa, Honorable Ross, Honorable Fase, Honorable Kanyel, Honorable Modisimto.
Chairperson, I second that. Thank you.
I wanted to make it more easier and clear. If you can, we're dealing with the participation of independent independence in multiple regions with no vote aggregated, cooling of periods, agent regulated recalculation. If I can get understanding of seconding on the first point, second point, Honorable Pillay, that is clearer and on record.
Chairperson, I second that that they would be allowed to participate in multiple regions with the clear provision that says you cannot aggregate votes. Second one that I propose that initially that the 3-month cooling off period is removed. And I also said this earlier that agents be allowed and that the bill makes provision for agents to be included, however the number be left to the regulations.
Thank you, Honorable Legwa.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I support Honorable Pillay on all issues that he has.
Honorable Ross has already made his point. Honorable Lukwase? Honorable Lukwase? Honorable Kanyile?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I have been covered by Honorable. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mudisem, sir.
Thank you, Chair. I concur with the Honorable on all the issues and I support. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, members. I think that is the reflection of the committee on all the issues that are carried, and the dominant views that matters that have been were outstanding and raised by yourself, members, and we note the objection of Honorable Ross on the matter that relates to the recalculation, and all matters have been carried. Can I establish with the Parliamentary Legal Service, or may I start with state law advisors? And the Home Affairs, if the advocate BA is in the meeting, or Mr. Malekate is in the meeting, if there's any other matter. I will also request the Parliamentary Legal Service to outline that the process that we're going to undertake from now on in terms of the finalization of the drafting of the A list and the B list. Let me start with State Law Advisor, Parliamentary Legal Service and Home Affairs.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, honourable members. It's Soraya Williams. I'm here with a colleague, Sarah Gavinder, and Ms. Ashley Johar. Chairperson, we've noted the proposals made in today's committee, and we'd have to go back and to see what provisions need to be amended in the bill, as well as the Act, for example, with regard to independent candidates standing for provincial legislatures and for the National Assembly. We need to look at, if we look at clause 4 of the bill, the proposed insertion of Part 3A, Section 31A, which provides that a person may be nominated to contest an election as an independent candidate in a region for the National Assembly or for a provincial legislature. So that will have to change. They can contest for both and for a provincial legislature. So things like that, we need to sift through the bill to see where those changes need to be made. And if I may, Chair, with regard to the points raised with party agents, the honourable members made a really valid point. Honourable Soleil, we spoke about what the bill should contain, the primary legislation, and what should be left for regulation say. If we look at the Act, Chapter 5, Section 58 provides for the appointment of agents, and it provides for every registered party contesting an election may appoint two party agents for each voting station. We propose that the Act provides for the, at very least, a minimum to mirror the provisions of the Act. So, for example, the party agents are going to have one, at least a minimum of one agent, political party having at least a minimum of one agent. Similarly, it should be for independent candidates to have at least a minimum of one agent. And then it can be further regulated in the next. We can have a provision in the bill which provides the least minimum, and then it can be further regulated in the next, and the bill can also authorize that the next regulations provide for the other matters pertaining to the party agent. But we propose that it provides for the least minimum, at least in the primary legislation. Anything else? That's all for now, Chair, but we have to consider, we have to go through the bill and the Act and the other legislation relating to this matter, like the Electoral Commission Act, and see what provisions may be impacted on and to see what provisions will require further amendments as a result of today's discussion, Chairperson.
Thank you. I've noted Commissioner Love's hand. I'll come back to you, Commissioner Love. Parliamentary Legal Service, Daksha.
Chair, Mr. Sibiwe, Jikela is on the...
Okay. Noted. Mr. Jikela.
Good morning, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think the State Law Advisor in their intervention has covered most of the issues. I think what is left for me to say, Chairperson, is simply to confirm the point that's made. But it is a potential amendment, so we need to carefully go through the entire bill just to see that we don't leave anything out, which may flow from the amendments that have been proposed now. So that is the exercise, Chairperson, that is going to commence once this meeting is finished between us and the State Law Advisor, and now and then we may want to touch base with the IEC as well, just to clarify certain things in terms of drafting and the practicalities of implementation of the legislation at the end of the day. So that exercise, Chairperson, will commence immediately after the
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Njikela, I assume that Daksha, there is no any other issue to raise.
Chair, all I would like to also say is that I agree with what the State Law Advisor said in relation to agents, that the Act at least provides for the minimum This way, the Act will provide legal certainty that at least one agent will be available for either a party or an independent candidate at the voting stations. We've heard the issues regarding the practicalities, but for the purposes of certainty, I agree that the Act itself should provide the bare minimum, and then whether more agents can be accommodated at the voting stations can then be left to the discretion. We welcome the PC's decision on removing the cooling off period impractical. And as the state advisors and Mr. Chikela has said, depending on, in light of the decisions taken here at the PC meeting this morning, the bill will have to be scrutinized in its entirety to look for all the consequential amendments that will need to be made. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I'll invite Commissioner Luff. Your hand is up.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks for the further inputs from the honourable members. Chairperson, two things. First of all, I wanted to indicate that we would like, if possible, if Mr. Roos could just drop us a note to give us any information about the alternative scenario that he would like us to use the 2019 figures, so that we clearly understand what alternative he's putting forward for purposes of how we fill a vacancy and do those calculations, and then we'll use the figures to as much as possible demonstrate that alternative scenario. And the scenario that we are presenting, we will then add to that, and we would be able, this is purely for purposes of information for the committee, we will then be able to provide those to you, Chairperson, early next week. And hopefully, once we've received something from Mr. Roos, that as well. The second thing, Chairperson, with your permission, when I started today, I was not aware that the fifth commissioner who has had his appointment confirmed, Mr. Mashinini, is in disguise as iPad 2. And I just wanted, on behalf of the commission, to appreciate the fact that we are now five commissioners at full strength, given that Mr. Mashinini has now joined us, and he is necessarily to change the name from iPad 2, but that is who iPad 2 is. So thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to let you know that. I don't know whether iPad 2 wants to also greet.
Thank you very much, Deputy Commissioner Love. Thanks for that or informing the committee that Mr. Mashinini or the president has confirmed Mr. Mashinini to form part of the commissioners. We congratulate him. We think he will continue to execute collectively the good work of the IC on behalf of our people, and he will catch up with where we are in terms of the electoral amendment bill process. And we think in the next meeting he will be more, or on the subsequent meetings he will participate. Thank you very much. We note also the request that you have requested members to note the commission so that you are able to demonstrate the Honorable Ross. I think in that spirit, Honorable Ross will do that and will create a space to for members also to benefit on that point. We also want to thank the legal team, Parliamentary Legal Service, for their comments and the issues that they have raised, and state law advisors, and follow up the deliberations that the committee and members for able to have deliberated on the issues, and the IEC have responded on technical issues. I must highlight that the legal team and both the committee could not, as a result of the implementation area of the IEC. I want to thank you, Commissioner Love, Commissioner Masuku, and all commissioners with the team, the portfolio committee, particularly on these technical areas that they were to navigate out. The CEO, Mr. Mamabolo, and Mr. Shibori, and your team. Deputy Minister, thanks for also leading the Home Affairs Advocate BS and all councils for making sure that at least clarity has been exerted to all members and those are participating and following so that we're able to control. We'll await for that draft A-list so that we were able to move forward on this matter. And if there will be other issues that will be arising, as Mr. Njikela is raising, the committee will then indicate to that. I want to establish if there's any other matter in relation to this process which members will want to raise. I assume I've outlined the summary carried by yourself, committee members, in terms of how we've arrived and concluded on some of the issues that are outstanding. Okay. If there's not any other matter, I want to also invite to give us an indication or announcements and the process that's going to follow. Then we work towards concluding our meeting.
Okay, Chairperson. Chairperson, next week we have applied to meet on Tuesday to deal with the issue of the A list to adopt or to get a briefing from the state law advisors and adopt the A list on Tuesday, and there will be other matters that they come to presentation from the department. Chairperson, one other issue was that there is a portfolio committee of police and minerals and energy. They went to Krugersdorp where I left yesterday. They are there today and tomorrow. And then the issue was that we had this meeting today that we closed also. So, Chairperson, we did not make an application as a portfolio committee on home affairs, but by the committee on minerals and energy. So, since we did not make an application, members that are able to go, they could able to go there tomorrow, especially tomorrow, because the Minister of Home Affairs is appearing before the two committees to give an update. I think in terms of the agenda is from 11:30 to 12:30 in the morning. So members that are able to go there, they will go there as part of their constituency work, not as part of the committee, but as part of their constituency work, because any expenses that will be incurred, Parliament was not able to cover that because of we did not make an application. There was no indication that we needed to go there. That's all, Chairperson. I will send the program on the WhatsApp group, so those members that will need to go then they can see where the meeting is going to take place and what time.
Okay, thanks, thank you very much for that update. It will be advisable that members who will be want to attend tomorrow may give Mr. Matunzi and that indication so that at least inform the other two committees that their fellow members from Home Affairs I think that will be appreciated. With that, I think we have received all the issues that the committee has to deal with. I want to thank you on behalf of the members of the honorable members of the committee for today's portfolio committee meeting and the deliberations and the decision that were carried and what we'll be expecting in the A list, draft A list. And thanks very much. Our meeting stands adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
Thank you.